Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. This is Lauren P. Razor on Razor Law. Thank you for, I won't say tuning in, I guess it's listening in. And I just want to say good evening, and hopefully people are having a great weather time. You know, we're lucky to have the great weather that we have. We take it for granted that, this kind of a heat wave coming up towards October, which is strange. But I guess this is what the climate is telling us. The climate is going through a lot of changes. It's almost like America is going through a lot of changes. I don't know what it is where we as Americans, America seems to be in a state of chaos, and our weather seems to be in the same vein. It's just going crazy. I don't know if it's the higher power reacting to us down here or what, but I can tell you I've never seen in my lifetime the kind of weather that we've had. And I've never seen the kind of presidential candidate that we've had. So, pretty much that is where we seem to be. Maybe we'll, at some point, it's like we'll correct ourselves and go back on the right path. I'm not sure what the right path is, but this is about liberty. I was at, I had the pleasure of being invited to speak at the NAACP this week on Monday. And, you know, we talked about civil rights and civil liberties and in the criminal court system, in a criminal court context, and about due process and those various issues. And I'll have something on due process later on. What is due process? What is the Fourth Amendment? What is the Fifth Amendment? Those are things that, you know, we may want to just chat about. But, you know, these liberties that we've had slowly are being taken away. And I always say this issue of voting is completely important in every way, shape. Even if you don't think you like the people on the national level, this certainly affects your ability to vote, as the ability to serve as a juror, where it becomes significant that we have a representation of the defendants or the plaintiffs shown in our jury pool. So, you know, now that these things are being taken away and that liberty now is under attack, I think we need to pause, and we need to determine what's important and what's not. And when we say we're not going to vote, and on major issues, on major levels, on major issues, then this is kind of what we end up with. Those who do come out and vote and vote heavy outnumber the folks that were for, say, the Democrats. This is what happens. And if we continue to think that voting is not important, or voting based on stupidity is important. Let me do it in reverse. Voting based on stupidity is not the way to go either. And what do I mean by that? Oftentimes when a woman is running for office, you know, and even I am a person that sometimes falls victim to that, you know, we look at things like what their hair is like and what their clothing is like. And we have a president in the White House, and I'm not looking to talk about him or because we've talked about him too much. And what we haven't talked about is who's in the bullpen. If the Democrats, we or I am a Democrat, you know, but I'm not stupid either. And we know their history with our community. Basically, they've used us over a period of time. And this is another backlash of all of this. So someone has to make our political leaders, someone has to make sense of this insanity because, for example, when I say, you know, vote, you know, not for, you know, for stupid reasons, we vote for stupid reasons. You know, we say a Donald Trump is better than a Hillary Clinton because Hillary Clinton did this, this, this. And then I ask people, well, you know, was she convicted of that? Did she, you know, did the House Senate vote to impeach? You know, like what gives you the proof that she, in fact, is worse than the guy that's sitting in there right there? So our basic philosophy is that we would rather vote for a dumb ass person who seems to have a tendency towards racism, and you know, and I say that because his son-in-law is Orthodox Jewish, so you know, it's kind of interesting. But the fact of the matter is, we would rather not vote for a woman who's well-educated, written 15 books, has a husband that is a former president, supporter of a Barack Obama, Secretary of State. We would rather have this person in the White House. Well, you know what? We get what we deserve. As a friend of mine would say, c'est la. And that's basically how I see it. Because we're voting on stupidness, and it's just a control. They cannot, the Republicans right now cannot pass a health care bill. Meanwhile, the Clintons, Hillary Clinton was looking to do exactly what is needed to basically, she was going to reform Obamacare. Now, whether she could have gotten it through and whether it could have happened, that's another issue. But we would rather have a – and think about Donald Trump. I mean, Donald Trump is brilliant. I mean, the man is brilliant. He became president of one of the most powerful, if not the most powerful nation in the world, and climbed the ladder, okay, and beat out every political figure in his own party, in the Democratic Party, in the Republican Party, and just beat out everybody based upon his ability to entertain. And he has always been that person. And he has always been an entertainer. And he has always been, I always say, he's the guy that provides people with the, entices people to put money in a machine, knowing that they will never, ever get it back. So he has always been that kind of guy. He deals with people, their dreams of this great country being completely white again and like snow, you know, and, there's nothing, you know, like people will probably fault. There's nothing wrong with him in his world. Absolutely not. It's something wrong with someone who would vote for him to be a president. In addition to this, the Democrats, I don't see who's the next candidate. I mean, I would love to be prepared, like who's next in the Democratic bullpen. In terms of who can run, Andrew Cuomo, well, they showed unification in New York. I thought it was strange that at some point I thought, if anything, I always fantasize about which one would beat each other up because Bill de Blasio, Mayor Bill de Blasio is pretty tall, you know, but maybe he could stoop down and punch Andrew Cuomo because that's basically what it looks like. It looks like they're in a slugfest. And so there's no, you know, eventually they endorsed each other, But I mean, someone probably had to, you know, force that issue. But when the election was, they were running, each one of them said they wouldn't endorse each other. So I don't get it. I don't understand the Democratic strategy. I like the senator and from New York, but I just don't think he should be sitting us in a room at a conference with all the major Democrats and start picking numbers as to who they're going to get behind and run. We can't know that person 5 minutes before the election. We need to see hope now. What we don't see is any hope for this party. And, you know, Donald Trump is stirring up his base and, you know, taking on the football players, and he's stirring everybody up and stirring the pot. He was like that probably as a kid, just messing with people. You know, this was what this person is messing with people. And that's what he does. And he's not used to, you know, being in the playground where if you knock somebody's stuff down, they'll knock your stuff back. He's not used to that. He's just used to messing with people and doing stuff, you know, and getting away with it because he's privileged. Now, let me, you know, I began to tell some, you know, like some skits. You know, I'm not a comedian. I won't say I'm that. But and I'll get back to the legal issue this evening. Oh, yeah. And by the way, the purpose of this Blog Talk Radio is to uplift, give people an opportunity to listen to some areas of the law that I will discuss. And a lot of it comes from real life situations. So it doesn't come up because, you know, this is something I want to do, and it's ego and all that. It doesn't come up before. This blog talk is really to try to help provide families with some legal tips for their families so they can, you know, have some legal information that's free and they don't have to pay for it. Some of it, the most important thing to know that this is generic information. It's not specific to your case. You do have to get, if there's a need, you do have to get specifics, you know, about your case. But I get calls all the time. I mean, I got a call from a woman who was in a alleged altercation with her neighbor, or actually with her roommate. They jumped her. Her position is they jumped her, and she had to defend herself. You know, there's certain things she didn't do. She was arrested, and now they're charging her with a misdemeanor. This week I received another phone call from a young man who wants to keep his apartment. And he is the non-married spouse of a woman who he lived with, and he had children with, and he lived in the apartment, and he wants to keep the apartment. So this is how the topic came up. The topic came up because of that particular issue for that particular young man, and it deals with succession rights and what is the law regarding succession rights in New York. All of what I talk about is about New York law. So it means that if you're in New Jersey and you're listening to this, and again, I want you to share. I want you to like. I want you to share. I want you to do a thumbs up. As long as I can continue to assist in this way, I really appreciate it. And even earlier this week, I was on a panel about criminal justice and some of the issues involved in the criminal justice field and with one of my colleagues. And I think it was very good education. And at the end of the day, you know, we're hoping that NAACP will move the community to help the community understand the need to vote, the need to serve as a juror. That's how you get on the rolls. You get on the juror rolls through the voting list. If you're not registered to vote, you may never get called. So those are things that are pretty much important. Being active in your community, for example, going into the courtroom and watching what's going on, and then having a scheduled meeting with the either the police department, the community having a scheduled meeting with the police department, or with the DA's office in your particular county, and church, maybe churches can get together and have these meetings and watch these judges as they're in your, if, you know, the public can watch the judges and the litigants and the DAs and give your perspective. All of that is very helpful in safeguarding the criminal justice system. For me, you know, during that on Monday when we had a civil rights a discussion, you know, I'm not there. I kind of fashion myself as understanding there's a need for law enforcement. There's a need to safeguard our law enforcement. They shouldn't be the targets of violence or targets of anything. So I believe we have to safeguard our law enforcement. In addition, you know, I'm not here to represent every defendant accused of crimes because some defendants are guilty. That's just me. And therefore, that's not how I practice law. I have to do my own investigation and believe in your cause because sometimes there are people who actually need to go to jail and need to be incarcerated and there's a need for incarceration. And those of you out here who think that incarceration is all bad, you have to go on the flip side and talk to the victims of violence to know that there has to be a balance. You can't have innocent people sitting in jail, but you can't have five-time felony offenders who committed heinous crimes out on the street. So with that said, those are the kinds of things we discussed arrest situations. We discussed what the prosecution is supposed to give or turn over to the defense, and you know, so that the defendant can properly prepare him or herself for trial. There's a certain procedure that you must go through in terms of a criminal prosecution, and you know, we had talked about the fact that if the prosecution fails to turn over what they call Brady material. Brady material is a landmark case where the prosecution had failed to turn over documents and evidence that would exculpate, which means that would show the innocence of the defendant. So if the prosecution, and we'll have a topic on that, if the prosecution fails to turn over evidence that the that could possibly show the innocence of the defendant, then what they have what they call a Brady violation, and there is a hearing on it, et cetera, et cetera. But tonight, as I indicated, succession rights in New York. If you live in and a lot of this stuff can be researched online. And you just got to do your homework a lot of times before you go into your attorney's office. You know, have familiarity with the subject matter. This deals with family members, and this is because of the young man who called me. I don't particularly practice in the area of landlord-tenant. You know, I've had a few cases or represented a few people in housing court, but it's not a court that you'll see me in every day. You know, as I move in my practice, I probably will do a lot more volunteer work. But the fact of the matter is, and also I had a pastor that came in this week. you know, the victim of what we call discrimination. And that's a case I will take a close look at once, you know, I do my research. But succession rights are important. They are important because it allows, it makes sure that a family member by definition is not, and I guess the legislative history behind succession rights is that you're pretty much not kicking people on the street because you lived in an apartment that your mom dies or permanently leaves, and or your family, one of your family members dies or permanently leaves, then you can, a family member or those deemed as a family member can take over the apartment. That is what succession rights starts as. They will have the right to renew a lease. So, but it has to be in a rent stabilized apartment, and or a I would say rent stabilized apartment where you're entitled to the renewal of a lease. So in rent stabilized apartment, you are entitled to a renewal of a particular lease, in a rent stabilized renewal lease. You get protection from eviction in an apartment that's under rent control. These are protections that you get under rent control and rent stabilization. So what does it mean? It means that a family member, and that's where the definition comes in as to who actually is a family member. So say you have an apartment, and that apartment is in New York. Pretty much in that apartment, it's probably some form of rent control or under the laws of rent stabilization. So that means rent stabilization is a law. You know, it applies to six or more units built before 1974. It's in the county of New York City, Nassau, Rockland, and Westchester. Those are regulations that are with municipalities, and applies to buildings of six or more units built before 1974. That is rent stabilization. Rent control exists in New York City, a small list of other municipalities. The tenant must have continuously lived in an apartment since July 1st, 1971. So those are the things that there's a difference between, a little difference between rent control and rent stabilization. It's about the units, and it's about the time period. When it's vacant, the unit becomes rent stabilized. So we can get into that a little bit more. But be that as it may, if your apartment is rent controlled or rent stabilized, and a family member, now they define a family member as a spouse, son, daughter, stepson, stepdaughter, father, mother, stepfather, stepmother, brother, sister, grandfather, grandmother, grandson, granddaughter, father-in-law, mother-in-law, son-in-law, or daughter-in-law of the tenant or permanent tenant. That is what a family member is, but it can also include now, and some people just cut it off. Now, that is a familia relationship. So that means that is something that it has a familial relationship where you're actual kin. But it also includes other persons residing with the tenant. Now, the most important thing is the tenant, him or herself, has to be a proper tenant. A tenant has to be in the apartment. You know, the tenant has to be a permanent resident of the apartment. The tenant has to reside in the apartment. The family member also includes other people with the tenant or permanent tenant. And it's important that the permanent tenant's accommodation, housing accommodation, is their primary residence. It has to be their. It has to be proven that it's the actual tenant's primary residence. So, the tenant can't. The actual owner or the tenant of the apartment cannot be living in North Carolina, expecting to provide succession rights to a family member. The tenant technically has to be a proper tenant. And a tenant who lives in another state and is trying to hold on to the apartment is pretty much saying, this apartment is not my primary residence. I mean, people do it, okay, do they sneak? You hear people do it all the time. The tenant would have to say, I'm no longer a permanent member. So if, for example, you live with your mother, and your mother decides to move to North Carolina and does not let the landlord know that they're moving to North Carolina, the landlord, if they find out, can take a housing court action against your mother because she is not a primary resident of that particular apartment, and therefore the issue will be whether you have succession rights, and the answer is no, because your family member did not have proper rights. Family members now can be, let's see, they say that you can prove, you have to prove emotional and financial commitment and interdependence between such persons and the tenants. So it's not just the familial relationship. And what does it mean? It means that if your mother decides to give up the apartment and leave the apartment, or God forbid, passes away, then you have a right to ask the landlord for a lease under succession rights. So that's what it means. You can now ask the landlord for the lease if your mother permanently gives up the apartment, but you would have to prove that you're actually living in the apartment, and that, you know, you would have to show that you are part of the apartment, and you don't necessarily, like that gentleman who's not married to the individual in the apartment, has been sharing payments. But we'll pick this up next week and continue with succession rights in New York. I hope that you get some information. It sparks you to look things up. And hopefully, if you want to ask questions, you can look me up on the Facebook page and put out a question there. Have a good week. And this is Lauren Razor from Law Talk. Be safe.